Many of you know him when he played for the U of A Golden Bears. Chris Knobloch joins us. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, Chris, I look at the stats and, you know, everybody's so focused on Strome and McDavid and all the offense. I was just judging how much different the goals against have been in Erie since you took over, despite having a lot of, you know, high octane guys. How have you been able to improve the defense and still have such an exciting offensive team at the same time?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the players buying in. The team hadn't won a lot in the last previous few years, and I think everyone was sick and tired of losing, and they wanted to make the next step and win a championship and be a competitive team every night. And to do that, you need good defense. And the guys really bought in last year. I think we erased about 150 goals from the previous season. And that's really what turned our season around last year, is just how much commitment we had to defense. And also, guys are older, and the older your team is, the better you tend to be. But I just think there's more emphasis from the players, more commitment to play in that end of the rink.
Well, Chris, I mean, given where your team is at, playing well at both ends of the rink, into the playoffs now, it's a real testament to the commitment you talk about of the players. And let me ask you this, framed in what you've managed to accomplish. It's remarkable to me that you've been able to stay on point and stay focused as a team with all the attention that gets heaped on a team that has two very special players that you have on that roster, McDavid and Strome. Has it been difficult, or have you been surprised at how on point your players have managed to stay virtually all season long?
Well, I think a lot of the credit has to go to the two individuals that have been getting that extra attention. Connor McDavid and Dylan Strome are great players, but they're also very mature for being 17 or just turned 18. So for them to handle all this, can be quite a burden, but they've handled it well, and they've been staying focused, and it hasn't really bothered them. But also, the team-wise, it could be also a big distraction for the team. Guys could get discouraged or envious of the extra attention those guys are getting. Mm-hmm. But the team has been very supportive. They know that these two players, in particular Connor McDavid, are special, and this is a unique experience. So everyone's been just going out enjoying the ride and haven't been distracted by the extra attention.
Chris Knobloch, head coach of the Erie Otters, joins us. Chris, we'll get back to your team in a second. You set up now Sault Ste. Marie. Like, this is a marquee matchup in the Ontario Hockey League. Sault Ste. Marie yet to lose. They've got some offensive guys producing almost as well as Connor McDavid. They've got very good defense. How much are you into matching lines in the play? Are you a coach who really focuses on that, or are you confident that you're going to rotate and not have to worry too much about specific matchups at specific times?
Well, I think the matchup favors Sault Ste. Marie in this series just because of how much depth they do have, and they've got four extremely strong lines and six defense that can play against our top line. So there is a little bit of matching lines from both teams, but I feel that if you spend too much time matching lines, it takes the rhythm out of your players, and you don't want it to stifle your players on playing well. So, as a coach, you have to balance how your players are feeling and what the other opposite or what the other team's doing.
Chris, did I hear you correctly? You say they can roll out any of their D pairs against your top line and feel good about it?
I feel that they got six strong defensemen. They will have Darnell Nurse, which you guys are quite familiar with, mm-hmm. as the number one guy against Connor McDavid, and he should be. He's a remarkable defensive player and offensively, but specializes in the defensive end and has the speed to match Connor. So that'll be a key matchup for them.
Chris Knobloch joins us. Chris, lost in the, maybe the Connor McDavid hype is just how good Dylan Strome has been for you. And, you know, playing second fiddle sounds like a negative, really. But, you know, some kids, you know, it might impact them. You know, he seems to be a guy that when Connor McDavid was away due to injury in the World Juniors, you know, he elevated even more. What do you like best about Dylan Strome's overall game?
Well, I think you pointed out there, I really like how he responded after Connor was away from our team for about 7 weeks with the injuries in the World Juniors. And a lot of scouts, I think, were feeling, came to watch, expecting to see Dylan's game drop. His points per game probably dropped just a little bit, and that was because of our power play wasn't producing the same as it was with Connor. But his even strength points were actually increased. So even though he was playing against teams' top lines and the other team's best defensemen, he was increasing his play 5-on-5. And I just think Dylan's a remarkable player, extremely smart, and can find his uses his teammates really well.
Chris, obviously the playoffs are a big time for you as a club. Got to get back to McDavid, though. A lot of excitement in this town, as you'd expect, with the draft lottery. Now, there were some people trying to read into Connor's reaction. Oh, he doesn't look that happy, so on and so forth. You read it. We've read it. You know, he's since said, I'm fine going to Edmonton. I'll be happy to go to Edmonton. Tell us a little bit about Connor as a young man. Is he a quiet, thoughtful kind of guy, off the ice? Why were people misreading him so badly?
Well, it's a unique situation where you ultimately almost find out where you're going, and people are judging, they're watching his every expression. You know, it's kind of paralyzing for the player or the person to really be themselves. But Connor, no matter where he was going, he was going to embrace it and go there and be a remarkable player. I just think there was absolutely too much being read into what his facial expressions were or how he perceived it. So he was in the same situation at his 15-year-old when he was granted exceptional status, where a lot of players tend to choose and pick where they want to go in the Ontario Hockey League. And a lot of players didn't want to go to Erie. Connor didn't bat an eye. He accepted that he was drafted by the Erie Otters and he was going to go there and he was going to make the most out of it and improve the team. And that is exactly what he did. And he's made the Erie Otters one of the better organizations in the Ontario Hockey League. And, you know, he's not a guy that feel that he's above the game and pick and choose where he goes. He just accepts the circumstances and makes the most out of it.
And he's done an excellent job. Chris, you could probably give him a few notes on what are the fun things to do in Edmonton, having spent many years here. I read an article from your general manager, Mr. Basson, talked about how the thing that impresses him the most about Connor is just, you know, his unselfishness as a star player. He, you know what, he's very complimentary and enthusiastic of his own teammates, but he must have a way to make guys around him better. Is, you know, he's 17, he's your captain, which is really young, and it's not because he's the best player. Supposedly, he's an incredible leader. Talk about his leadership skills and his ability, despite all the onus being on him, for him to be able to include everybody else and look at those guys as much as he looks at himself.
Well, you had mentioned a good point at the beginning there about how he's unselfish and wants to include people. And that's a bit of his play. This year, he was able to score a lot more goals, being a little more selfish. But in his game, he likes to include everybody and have everyone be part of the success. excuse me. And being that on the ice, he tend to pass more than and pass up opportunities to shoot, where he wanted other people to be part of the success or part of the goal. He's very unselfish and a team first guy.
Now, Chris, you've played the game at a high level. You've coached the game, and I know you might not be totally objective because you do coach Connor, but your most honest take, you see him day in, day out, in the rink, in the room, practices, games, on the bus. Have you met a young man this gifted or seen a young man this gifted at this age during your time in hockey? The hype is generational. Is that hype or is that pretty much bang on when it comes to this kid?
Well, I've seen a lot of good players in the WHL and the Ontario Hockey League. A couple of them stand out. As I got to coach Cody Eaton, which as a player to coach, he was a treat. I really liked him. I thought he was special. I also saw Tyler Johnson. He played for the Spokane Chiefs at 20, and he had quite a remarkable, I believe he had 60 goals and was probably the best two-way player that I saw. As good as those two players were, Connor is much better, and he's only in his, what should be his second year of junior hockey.
As a coach, when you have such a star player like that, Chris, how does he challenge you to become a better coach? Because I'm guessing there's certain things maybe that are just uncoachable with him. How has he made you a better coach?
I think for me, it allowed me to be a little more creative, where I felt that this is what the team is going to do. Lines 1 through 4 are going to run this system and do this breakout. But when you have a talent like Connor, you want to set up some special plays for him to get him that puck in a dangerous area. So it's allowed me to be a little more creative, and a lot of things fail and some of them work, but as a coach, it's fun getting to play around.
Now, watching him play every night, Chris, we see the highlights unless, you watch the games on your laptop. His ability to do everything, pass the puck, as you say, but when he goes to the net and then he shows some sick hands on highlight reel goals, like, I look for a weak spot in his game and don't see it in the limited highlights I see. Is there anything about his game lacking, as silly as a question as that sounds?
I don't think so. He's well-rounded. I don't think there's something another team could say is, oh, we're going to shut this down and he's not going to be effective. Because his speed is what makes him really dangerous. But if you want to be physical, he doesn't shy away from that. If you can catch him, if you can hit him, he doesn't shy away from that contact. I think he's pretty remarkable. The coaches, we joke that next year is going to be a boring year. And it's kind of ironic. We do have the OHL scoring champion Dylan Strome returning, and other guys like Alex DeBrincat, who was a rookie who scored 50 goals and had 100 points. But we joke that it's going to be a boring year because Connor will be gone.
Well, Chris, I don't think this series is going to be very boring. I know a lot of Oiler fans will be watching with Nurse and McDavid on the ice, likely going head-to-head. We had Darnell on the show yesterday, and he said he was just excited to have the opportunity and challenge to face off against McDavid. Thinks he's a real special player, and that should be a great matchup. Best of luck in the series. Appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.